The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Fifth Canto, Chapter Number 18, Text Number 31. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari. Recorded on December 21st, 2012, in Sydney, Australia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Yat
Rupam
etat
nijamayaya
arpitam
artha
svarupam
bahurupa
rupitam
sankhya
na
yasya
asti
ayata
Upalambhanat
Tasmai
Namaha
Te
Ayapadesha
Rupine
Yad Rupametan Nijamaya Yarpitam
Yad Rupametan Nijamaya Yarpitam
Artasva Rupam Bahu Rupa Rupitam
Artasva Rupam Bahu Rupa Rupitam
Sankhyana yashyasya yatopalambanat
Sankhyana yashyasya yatopalambanat
Tasmai namaste vyapadesha rupine
Tasmai namaste vyapadesha rupine
Yad rupametan nijamaya yarpitam
Yad rupametan nijamaya yarpitam
Artasvarupam bahurupa rupinam
Artasvarupam bahurupa rupitam
Sankhyana yashyatya yatopalambanat
Sankhyana yashyatya yatopalambanat
Tasmai namaste vyapadesha rupine
Tasmai namaste vyapadesha rupine
Yat
Of whom?
Rupam, the form,
etat,
this, nijamayaya arpitam,
manifested by your personal potency,
artasvarupam,
this entire visible cosmic manifestation,
Bahurupa
rupinam,
manifested in various forms.
Sankhya,
the measurement.
Not.
Yashya,
of which.
Asti,
there is.
Avyata,
falsely.
Upalambanat,
from perceiving.
Tasmai,
unto Him, the Supreme Lord.
Namaha,
my respectful obeisances.
Te,
unto you.
Avyapadesha,
cannot be ascertained by mental speculation.
Rupine,
whose real form.
Translation and purport by Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada.
My dear Lord, this visible cosmic manifestation is a demonstration of your creative energy. Since the countless varieties of forms within this cosmic manifestation are simply a display of your external energy, this Viratarupa universal body is not your real form. Except for a devotee in transcendental consciousness, no one can perceive your actual form. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. purport. Mayavadi philosophers think that the universal form of the Lord to be real and his personal form illusory. We can understand their mistake by a simple example. A fire consists of three elements, heat and light, which are the energy of the fire, and the fire itself. Anyone can understand that the original fire is the reality and that the heat and light are simply the fire's energy. Heat and light are the formless energies of fire, and in that sense, they are unreal. Only the fire has form, and therefore it is the real form of the heat and light. As Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita 9:4, Maya tatam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. Thus, the impersonal conception of the Lord is like the expansion of heat and light from a fire. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord also says, Matstani sarvabhutani nachaham tashvavastitaha. The entire material creation is resting on Krishna's energy, either material, spiritual, or marginal. But because his form is absent from the expansion of his energy, he is not personally present. This inconceivable expansion of the Lord's energy is called achintya shakti. Therefore, no one can understand the real form of the Lord without becoming his devotee. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Balan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Svaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yadeshatarine. So, Prabhupada is giving a very nice simile. The fire consists of three elements, heat and light, which are the energy of the fire, and the fire itself. So the Mayavadi, in this analogy, he considers the heat and the light to be real and the fire itself to be formless, you see. So, why does he think that way? Because he is not qualified to see the form. That is the difficulty. Premanjana charito bhakti velochanena santak sadaiva hidayeshu velokayanti yang shama shunjaram achyutya gunasvarupam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship the Prime Evil Lord who is Shama Sundar, Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion, tinged with the salve of love. So because the Mayavadi is not qualified to see that form, he says, oh, there actually is no form. This reminds us of the old fable of the sour grapes. You've heard that fable, yes? The fox, he saw some grapes there. Oh, those grapes look very, very nice. So he's jumping. Well, just he jumped very hard. He still couldn't get high enough. He put some more energy, jumping even more. He put every bit of his energy to jump all the way to get the grapes, but he still missed them. So, oh, the grapes are sour, you see. So the Mayavadi, he is not able to get those grapes. Therefore, he says they are sour, you see. Because he cannot perceive the form of God. Therefore, God has no form, you see. It's like saying, well, you know, I went down to Canberra, I wanted to meet your prime minister, you know. I'm pretty important, you know, so I went down and wanted to meet your prime minister, but they wouldn't let me in. So, you don't have a prime minister. Because I couldn't see, therefore you have no prime minister. You understand? This is Mayavadi philosophy. Because I cannot see his form, therefore he has no form. Just see how bogus these Mayavadis are. Puffed up characters, you know, really puffed up characters. So we have to not be misled by these Mayavadi philosophers. Of course, it's very attractive, you know. Even atheists get attracted by Mayavadi philosophy. In fact, that's why Shankaracharya taught it. Buddha said, there's no God. He destroyed theism in India. So, Lord Shiva was ordered by Krishna that you go and you present the Vedanta philosophy in such a way that it appeal to the Buddhists so you can bring them back gradually to Vedic culture. So, Shankaracharya, obeying Lord Shiva, appeared as Shankaracharya. He obeyed Lord Krishna's instruction. And he taught the Vedanta Sutra through grammatical word jugglery. He presented the idea, very akin to Buddhism, that God is one. Everything is God, you see. So, someone, they say, well, I don't believe in God. There is no God. You say, well, if I told you that you were God, do you think you could believe in God? Oh, really? I'm God? I can accept that. I'll give up my atheism. If I can be God, I'll give up my atheism. Yes. Thank you very much. Now I know that I am God. You see. This is Mayavadi philosophy. It's a way to, by taking the Vedanta Sutra and presenting it in a twisted way, that it presented this impersonal conception of God. Just like the word arupam, for example, is there in the Vedic scriptures. God is arupam, without form. But if you have to take it in context. In fact, Prabhupada actually mentions this in a purport in the Bhagavad Gita. I forget which verse. He quotes the verse which says arupam, without form. But then the other verse, just next to it, states that God does have form. God is a person. It mentions purusham, person. So, if you take it in context, it's very clear the Sanskrit word arupa means no material form. But the Mayavadis are cheaters. They want to take it out of context. You see? Through a slight grammatical trick, you can do all kinds of things. Just like we have a principle that sex is only for procreation, for example, the Prabhupada taught us. That any sex which is not for procreation is illicit. You see, this is why we don't endorse gay marriage, for example, because gay marriage legitimizes illicit sex. You see. Of course, a lot of people are upset with us that we don't jump on the gay marriage bandwagon, but sorry, you know. Sex life, which is not according to procreation, is illicit. It's unnecessary, it's a waste of energy, it diverts the consciousness away from the spiritual plane and brings it back to the material plane where it's not supposed to be. So, One could take, for example, that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text number 11, Balang Balavatang Chahang Kama Bhagavad Varjitam Dharma Vrivido Bhujeshu Kamos Mehbaritar Shabha. Krishna says, I am sex life, which is not conscientious. He's saying, I am that sex life which is not conscious of religious principles. Krishna is saying, I am that sex which is according to religion. In other words, a householder having sex according to Prabhupada's instruction, 50 rounds after, once in a month, 50 rounds of japa. If they're having sex life according to religious principles, that is Krishna. Just like prasadam is Krishna, that sex is Krishna. Is it? But one could take it out of context, one could twist it. I am sex life, by the way, which is not contrary to religion. It's in it, that all sex is Krishna, you see. Yet you could twist it that way through a slight little, I think it's if you, in English, you could, it's a matter of whether there's a comma there or not. Some little, slight little difference, you see, changes the whole meaning. I am sex life, comma, which is not contrary to religion. You see what I'm saying? But actually, Krishna is saying, I am that sex life which is not contrary to religion. And that sex life which is contrary to religion, that is not me, you see. But that sex life which is according to religion, that is I am. So the point is, you can, through subtle little things, you can completely flip the meaning upside down. And that's what the Mayavadis do, you see. They flip the meanings. So the only way you can protect yourself from Mayavadi philosophy is to read Prabhupada's books and understand them very well. Mayavadi philosophy is very, very attractive. I know, I was a Mayavadi previously. Because that's the only books that are around. I mean, here I was back in 1967 in Austin, Texas, a spiritual seeker, not happy with material life, looking for spiritual answers. And, you talk to your friends at school and they say, well, I've read this book and it's pretty good. So, you follow some advice from anybody. There was no devotees around. And, I got into reading impersonal books. That was the only books on Indian philosophy available in those days, impersonalism. I came across one book which is called The Book. The subtitle was On the Taboo Against Knowing Who You Are. And the book taught me that actually you are God. But now you're playing hide and go seek with yourself, so now just come out of hiding and be God again. Haribo. So I tried it, felt pretty good for 2 or 3 days. Wow, I'm God, But then, if you're God, then that means everything's happening according to what you want, right? But after 2 or 3 days, I said, this isn't working out, This is not working out. I realized it was a fallacy, you see. And we had a Swami come to town, Swami Satchidananda, at the Methodist Student Center. He gave a lecture. The Methodist Student Center. The Christians sponsored him to give a lecture. And he said, I'm God, you're God, and we're all God. You see? In the Christian Center, he gave such a lecture. Christians are very liberal these days. They let the Mayavadis come and say that we're all God. Some of them are liberal, anyway. We had an experience in Johannesburg. They're very, very close-minded. That's a whole other story. So anyway, this Mayavadi idea is very, very attractive. You get to be God, but it really isn't practical because if you think about it, well, they say that you're God, but you just forgot, So now you have to, remember. But that would mean that forgetfulness is more powerful than God. That means that forgetfulness is the supreme. If you're actually God, that means everything is under your power, under your control. You see? You understand? You couldn't forget. That's the point. If you're God, you could never forget it. You could never be bewildered in illusion and forget your position. So this idea that you're actually God, but you just forgot about it, now you have to do some mantra, do some asanas, some pranayama or something, to realize that you're God again. It's just absolutely ridiculous philosophy. Absolutely ridiculous. Therefore, we simply worship Govinda, you see. Pantastu koti shatavatsara sampragamyo vayuratapi manasomunipun gavanam sopyasti yat prapapasintya vichintyatat ve Govinda madi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord. Only the tips of the toes of whose lotus feet are approached by the yogis who aspire after the transcendental by taking themselves to pranayama, by drilling the respiration, or by the gyanis who try to find out the non-differentiated Brahman by the process of elimination of the mundane extending over thousands and millions of years. So these yogis and these gyanis, you see, they try to eliminate the mundane, neti-neti. And in this way, they try to realize the non-differentiated, the Raman, and this goes on for thousands and millions of years. And where does it get them? Even after thousands and millions of years, they finally merge into Raman. What happens? Patanti adho. They fall down again in this material existence. Why? Because they have no regard for the lotus feet of Krishna. You may be allowed a sneak preview of the spiritual sky, but if you have no bhakti, you won't be allowed to any planet, to none of the Vaikuntha planets, nor to Krishna Loka planet. You will not be allowed on any planet there. You may get a little sneak preview to be able to fly in the sky of Brahman. After thousands and millions of years of yoga or philosophical negation, you may be allowed, after thousands and millions of years, you may be allowed to fly in the sky of Brahman. But then, patanti at all, you fall back into this material existence. So is it worth it? Why not in one lifetime simply surrender to Krishna and regain your original identity as his eternal servant in his pastimes? Isn't this more intelligent than trying to merge into Brahman through yoga or jnana? You see? So therefore, one should follow the intelligent pathway, you see. And Prabhupada is so kindly giving us this pathway. We should simply put full faith in Prabhupada. We should not doubt Srila Prabhupada. There's so many people doubting him, people who claim to be followers even of our movement. They are doubting Srila Prabhupada. It's very, very offensive. Some of the things I'm getting in the email from people who come to our temples. It's unbelievable how much they're finding fault with Srila Prabhupada. It's shocking. They're trying to see through the eyes of the mundane society, you see. They're because they're still addicted to sense gratification. They're seeing through the eyes of the mundane society and they're judging Prabhupada on the basis of political correctness. Political correctness is a constantly changing phenomenon. What is politically correct now, 100 years ago, was not politically correct, and 100 years from now, it won't be politically correct. Political correctness is constantly changing. It is simply under the influence of the three modes of material nature. So, instead of being politically correct, we should be paramparalically correct. You understand? We should, instead of lining up with the modern day, you know, what is considered politically, we should line up with what is correct in the view of the acharyas. Paramparakali correct, you see. That's what we want to be. Because that never changes. That never changes. There we will find the doorway to liberation. Political correctness, we should not try to rewrite Prabhupada's books or Prabhupada's philosophy to make it politically correct. You see? We should simply take Prabhupada's teaching exactly as he has given them. We shouldn't try to adjust Prabhupada's teachings to please the material society. Our mission is to adjust the material society to bring it in accordance with Prabhupada's teachings. You understand? Don't try to change Prabhupada's teachings to suit the modern society. Then you've killed the movement. You've killed it. You've destroyed ISKCON, actually. change the material society to bring it in accordance with Srila Prabhupada's teachings. That is our movement, you see. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Are they writing it down? If we're going oral, I'll need some help. My hearing's pretty bad. Okay, Mataji? It's not written down now. It's too late. Just say it and somebody repeat it. It's too late to write it down now. Others can write, but first question should be online. Go ahead.
Regarding political correctness, some people might say that in order to encourage more people to be attracted to Krishna consciousness, we need to, at least in preaching centers, you know, act a bit more open towards all different types of people.
Actually, we're already open to everybody. Our philosophy is already to be open to everybody. Even Jagai Madai are welcome. Our philosophy was already open. It's not that it was a closed philosophy and we had to open it. That's a misconception. That Prabhupada is closed-minded, so we have to become more open-minded than Prabhupada. It's wrong philosophy. It's completely wrong. Prabhupada is the most open person. We have to just be as open as Prabhupada is. That's all. You understand? Prabhupada is the most open person. It's not that if Prabhupada was not open, so now we have to be open. That's completely wrong understanding. Completely wrong understanding. We have to try to become as open as Prabhupada is. That's all. Trouble is we are not as open as Prabhupada. That's the problem. You see. That's the difficulty. That's why our preaching is not going where we want it to go, because we are not as when Prabhupada was so open he could immediately attract thousands of young people to completely give their lives to him. You see, his heart was so open that we have closed hearts. You see, we're selfish, we're greedy, we're lusty, we're angry. We have all these things that make us closed-hearted. We have to be as open as Prabhupada was, or at least, you know, pray for, at least we can represent him purely, and then the whole world will be attracted. You see, we're not against anyone. I mean, if Prabhupada can accept us, then we were so fallen that we have to accept other people. We can't have prejudices against people. Well, you're of this category, you know, you're this, you're that, you're this. No, Prabhupada had no prejudices. You see? He didn't have prejudices. He was open to everyone. So we have to be, if we can represent Prabhupada's openness, then the preaching will go on first class, you see. Just like a book distributor. Every person, he's open to every person he meets on the street. Every person he's open, you see. It doesn't matter, a drunkard, you know, doesn't matter who it may be, the prime minister. It's like our Bhakta Brian, he was out on the street and Bill Clinton walked up to him, you know. And he gave him a book. Bill Clinton was so happy. He held up, all the media was there, you know, with their cameras. He held up the book. He was so happy to get a Gita, you know. So I was in Santa Monica, California. I was there the next day. He told, it was really a big thing when he gave Bill Clinton the Bhagavad Gita. So we have to be, it doesn't matter if it's a drunkard, it's Bill Clinton, you know, whoever it may be. The preacher is open to everybody. He has no prejudice, or he had no bigoted attitude. He sees everyone as Krishna's part and parcel. He sees Krishna in the heart of everyone. And see, if he has that mood, then he'll be able to be a very, very successful preacher. He can make so many devotees. Does that answer your question? Okay. All right, next one. If Srila Prabhupada's teachings are superior, is there any need to be fearful of other teachings? No, we're not afraid of anything, actually. Our position is fearlessness, abhay, without any fear. That doesn't mean we embrace all the teachings. That's Mayavadi philosophy. It's all one. Your philosophy is wonderful. Our philosophy is wonderful. Your philosophy is wonderful. Every philosophy is wonderful. That's Mayavadi philosophy. You see? We don't kill cows because we think they're sacred. But if you think it's, if your religion said it's okay to kill cows and eat, then that's great. We respect you killing the cows, you know, and eating them. It's wonderful. We know you thank God before you eat your hamburger. And you're great, brother. We really appreciate your here at McDonald's today, chomping down on a double cheeseburger. You know, we don't. No, we do see a difference. Actually, somebody wrote me the other day. They said, you know, how can we be against the Muslims who are eating halal meat or the Christians who are saying grace before they eat the meat? Aren't they? They're also going to heaven, right? That was the question. The reality is, even according to the Bible, that it's a vegetarian place. What's the proof? It's stated in the Bible, in the kingdom of God, the lion and the lamb will sit peacefully side by side. Put a lion and a lamb side by side here on the planet Earth. Come back in 20 minutes and where will that lamb be? In the belly of the lion, but not in the kingdom of God. So if even the lion is a vegetarian in the kingdom of God, that even according to the Bible, the kingdom of God is a vegetarian place. Now I ask you, if you're addicted to eating flesh, just like every Sunday, you know, the Jones family, they go to get the kids up, they all put on their coats and ties, they go to church, and after church, where do they go? McDonald's, you see. Their Sunday ritual. After church, they go to McDonald's. And so let's say they all went to the kingdom of God, you see. Oh, Lord, and praise Jesus, it's great to be here. Hallelujah, brother, it's so wonderful to be here. And by the way, where's the McDonald's? Well, we don't have McDonald's here. We only have Govinda's here. You see, the point is, if you have a taste for blood and flesh, you wouldn't like the spiritual world. You say, get me out of here. This is the Hare Krishna place. Get me out of here. You understand? This is the Hare Krishna place. I'm getting out of here. You see? In the kingdom of God, there's no meat eating. So, you say, well, can a Christian or a Muslim go back to God? And sure, if they give up meat eating and they fully surrender to God, yes. We don't condemn a Muslim or a Christian for their Islam or their Christianity, but you become a pure Christian, a pure Muslim who gives up sinful activities. And then you can be just as much a saint as a Krishnite can be. But you have to give up sinful activities. You see? You can't go on gratifying your material senses and think that you'd go back to God's kingdom because you would hate the place. Krishna won't torture you by getting you back to his kingdom, a place where you can't eat meat and you can't have illicit sex. You understand? If I'm addicted to having illicit sex with my wife, in the name, well, she's my wife, Prabhu, do you think you would be happy in the spiritual world where people don't have sex? You understand my point? We have to develop the pure bhakti mood as Prabhupada has taught us. You see, chant Hare Krishna, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. We have to learn how to get our pleasure from the holy name. Fully satisfied by the name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That taste for Krishna's name will carry us beyond the material existence into the transcendental kingdom of God. So anyway, next question. What was the Sanskrit reference to you describe someone calling from the Brahma Jyoti? Aruya krishchena parangpadam tata pato nyado nadyache yushmadangriyaha. It's a Bhagavatam verse. That even after undergoing, the Sanskrit is krishchena. Even after undergoing very, very severe penances and austerities and entering into Brahman, patanti adho, they fall down again because they have no regard for the lotus feet of the Lord. If you send me an email at sda@backtohome.com, I can give you the exact verse number. Bhagavatam. Okay, next question. Any other questions? Yes.
You're talking about the Christians wouldn't be happy or if they're eating meat, but if in their teaching they believe they go to heaven with Jesus, so is that something in the Vedic scriptures? Is that actually a place, or is that their misunderstanding?
I only got about half of it. They understand that by accepting Jesus, they will enter the kingdom of God. And they understand they're allowed to eat meat also. That's a fact.
So is that place that, scripturally, in the scriptures, the place they're talking about, is that Goloka Vrindavan, or is it a different place? And in the Vedas, does that place exist? Or?
Yeah. That's an interesting question. One time Prabhupada said, actually, it's the place in the material world. But even then, you can't go to a heavenly planet if you're addicted to eating meat. That's only in the lower planets. One thing is this. Prabhupada told us, he said, the Bible was not spoken by Jesus Christ. It was manufactured by this and them. And we've also read that there is... I have a copy of a scripture, actually you posted on the internet, but there is a scripture that was found in a Tibetan monastery, the teachings of Jesus, where he's completely vegetarian. According to that, the documentation on that text, it was the other parts of the Bible were rewritten when the Emperor Constantine wanted to convince Constantine to become a Christian. They rewrote the Bible to make it a meat eater, facilitating meat eating. According to what's written about this document did not get rewritten. It's in the original pure form from 2,000 years ago. And this document, this gospel, is described Lord Jesus as promoting vegetarian diet. And actually the Bible itself says thou shalt not kill. It's very clearly stated in the Old Testament. Now since Prabhupada pointed out the fallacy of the Christians by eating meat, when they have an injunction against killing, they rewrote the Bible, thou shalt not murder. They changed it after Prabhupada came and spoke against this. So whether Jesus actually taught that is debatable. That you can eat meat and go to the kingdom of God. They say, well, he ate fish. Prabhupada said that under emergency condition, one can eat anything. Even a Vaishnava, there was one yogi who ate dog under emergency. Even Prabhupada said we can eat cow under emergency. In the Bhagavatam, he says even under an emergency condition, we can eat cow. If there's absolute necessity, it's a matter of survival. Even Prabhupada told Hare Krishna Prabhu and his assistant that when they were going to Russia, they could eat meat if they had to. They never did, but they were authorized to eat meat by Prabhupada if they had to survive for preaching in Russia. So whether Christ actually taught that is a very, very debatable point. Whether he actually facilitated meeting, but there's no doubt the present-day Bible, there are verses which appear to the way they've translated it is that allow meat eating. But another way of looking at it is this: even the Vedas allow meat eating. And the Puranas, it stated how you can kill the goat on the dark moon night. You're allowed to do that, but you don't claim the kingdom of God. You become a goat in your next lifetime to be slaughtered by the very person. The very goat that you slaughter will become a human being and he will slaughter you and eat you. That's the Vedic system for meat eating. So, will meat eaters go to the kingdom of God? No, they won't. Where will they go? I can't say. According to their karma, they'll get a place. They're not liberated from the material existence. So strictly according to karmic principles, they'll take their next birth. Now the fact is, if they have some faith in Jesus, that is a pious thing because he's a pure devotee. that will help them,
no doubt.
He's a great pure devotee, Prabhupada. Always, very, in fact, we're going to be talking on Christmas Day, we'll be having a seminar talking a lot about Lord Jesus. Prabhupada talks about him again and again in his books. He's a very great pure devotee. Saktivesh Avatar. So, by their faith in Jesus, even though they have twisted his teachings in so many ways, that's an asset for them, that faith in Lord Jesus Christ. And that will help them. But as long as they have a taste for material sense gratification, there's no way they'll enter the kingdom of God. Absolutely impossible. Okay, is it possible to be happy in the material world? Happy perpetually in the material world? Sure. Just chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, or any name of God. If you do it in a mood of pure bhakti, any name of God will give you unlimited happiness. But especially Hare Krishna is recommended in the Kali Santadana Upanishad, is the most powerful, effective name for delivering one from material consciousness. We never say it's the only. We are not a sect. We are not fanatics that you have to chant Hare Krishna. If you chant Allah and give up your sinful activities, you chant Jesus Christ and give up sinful activities, you will achieve the supreme happiness. But you have to be in the mood of service, not in the mood of enjoying. You have to be in the mood of giving everything for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not that you approach him, give me this, give me that. Come on, Lord, don't do this to me now. You give me this. You see what I'm saying? They take God as an order supplier. Just like that song, you know. Give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, replete with Michelin tires. Give my wife a new silk sari. Give my kids a Harvard education. Give me a house by the sea. Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari. You see? As long as we approach God to give me this, give me, give me, give me, give me, you can't be liberated. It's not possible. But if you will take this mood, described by Rupa Goswami, Iyaya Shahira Dashe Karmana Manasagira Nicholas Vapyavastavsu Jivan Mukta Sa Uchate. One who fully absorbs himself, body, mind, and words in the service of the Supreme Lord becomes a liberated soul even in all conditions of material existence. You don't have to wait to go back to God to become liberated. You, or we, can become liberated right here, right now. Simply we have to fully absorb body, mind, and words in the service of Krishna 24/7. That's all. Do you want to be a liberated soul? You can be liberated right now. Just fully embrace in your heart of hearts the mood of complete surrender to the will of the Lord and immediately become liberated soul. That is our philosophy. And it works too. Prabhupada's the proof. And that he liberated so many young people who were totally addicted by sinful activities. He completely liberated them from their sinful life and fully absorbed them in promoting Lord Chaitanya's movement all over the world. This is the proof. So anything else? Actually, our time is up. So we'll stop here, and we thank you all very, very much for your participation in Srila Prabhupada's Krishna Consciousness Movement, ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Antaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
His grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari Maharaj ki jai.